the right division and the mid-axe position, May 2014. Right division, and now I came to understand the mid-axe position. I understand that during the last centuries, many definitions of the church, which is the body of Christ, has been preached by many teachers and preachers. My goal is not to show every position, but to simply present what I believe and how I came to this belief. I was raised Roman Catholic. The Catholic Church teaches in Acts 2 position, making Peter the first pope. From going to a Catholic church, I started to go to a Baptist church. I now know that not all the Baptist churches teach the same things. The Baptist church that I attended for 3 years did teach salvation correctly, that you are saved the moment you believe that how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days after he arose. About 50% of the people going to that church believe that you could lose your salvation. I believe once saved, always saved. After the Baptist church, I moved on from church to church, yet not finding anyone that teach according to what the Bible teaches for the dispensation of the grace of God for us today. This left me in a no man's land. I knew there was more to the Bible than I knew at that time, yet not sure of what I was missing. I simply knew that I did not have the complete picture. I never stopped studying the Bible and listening to several TV preachers. I did learn a lot from TV preachers and from internet preachers, different sources, books, things like that. Again, I started to see some differences between preacher A, preacher B, and this and that, and different groups, organizations. Not everything, you know, it's not what I want. I discovered Paul Talk in 2001 when Fire Talk died, and I was not on Fire Talk long, and a whole bunch of us moved to Paul Talk. In the Christianity section of Paul Talk, I went from room to room, avoiding some room and listening to some people in some rooms. One day I found a group that was teaching something new to me. These were Pauline Mid-Axe Dispensationalist Right Dividers. I started to like what they were teaching, but I had a lot of questions. For I did not have this knowledge and found that these people said something that made sense. They did not always like me, personally me, as I asked many questions and I would ask the same questions over and over. I wanted the truth. I heard many answers. I kept coming back to that one Paul Talk room until I explained that I was not satisfied with many answers for the same questions, and that is why I kept asking the same questions. I told these teachers, why don't one of you, just one, give me an answer and the other one stay out of the conversation? For me, the one-on-one worked better than having many teachers. Remember what Paul said? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For thou ye have 10,000 instructors, yet in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In reality, Paul is my instructor, as this verse says. Having some help is good, I mean, too much help is bad. Many people were trying to convince me. I got confused, but I did not give up, since I felt that these people could really help me. The term right division comes from 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is all the Bible. The entire Bible is the word of God. Since God cannot lie, and we see this in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when God talks, he speaks the truth. We know that what God told Adam is not what he told us. Adam had only one rule to follow: don't eat of that tree. God told Noah to build a large ship. Did God tell anyone else to build an ark? No. How did God deal with Abraham? Go check it up in the Bible. What did God introduce for Israel during the lifetime of Moses? And on. What was not God telling them the truth? Yes, he was telling them the truth. But the truth for them is not always, is not necessarily the truth for us. Was it the same truth to each person? No. This is where right division comes in. Right division allows you to see the different teachings of God to different persons and to different groups at different times in history. Ask yourself a few questions. What was said? To whom was it said? When was it said? Sorry. Who said it? What was the context? Where was this? And on. Just ask questions. Figure out what was where and when and what and all that stuff, and see if you can figure it out. Because it's not always easy. But you can sort out through a lot of it. Mid-Acts dispensationalism is to recognize the importance of the mystery of Christ revealed first to the Apostle Paul as doctrine to the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of the grace of God. While most people divide the Bible in two parts, the Old Testament and New Testament, today we divide the Bible in several parts, of which the three main ones are: 1. The law for Israel that started with Moses in the Old Testament. 2. Grace for the body of Christ for today. That's number 2. Number 3, the New Testament for Israel after the church, the body of Christ, has been removed from the planet Earth. Going back to the law in the Old Testament. In your Bible, you got Moses to John. Note that I did not say Moses to Malachi. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still Old Testament, since Christ was still alive before the crucifixion, and Christ came to his own, and you read the stuff, you'll find that it's amazing that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are before Christ died. That was still Old Testament stuff. So that page in your Bible, if you got one of those, and you got a page that says New Testament, it doesn't belong there. In part number 2, grace for the body of Christ. These are the teachings of the Apostle Paul, the 13 letters that Paul wrote. The New Testament has to do with, okay, Hebrews to Revelation, and definitely not the entire book of Revelation is part of the what we call the New Testament. So I'll grant you that. It's not all New Testament in the book of Revelation. There's more to it than that. Now, I ask just a very simple question. When did the body of Christ start? And I struggle to that too. Many people do, and still do, and will continue to do that. Some people say that the body of Christ started in Acts 2. Some say Acts 9. Some say Acts 13. Others will say Acts 28. Let me show you what I believe. The church started in Acts 9 with Paul. Paul persecuted the church of Jerusalem and could not be saved according to the word of God of the Old Testament, according to the little flock. He couldn't be saved because he blasphemed the Holy Spirit. So you have to read Hebrews to understand that in that dispensation, Paul could not be saved. There are other places too that you can read and figure out that it was a promise that even Christ, when he was walking, he says, if you blaspheme the Son of God, it will be forgiven to you. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's game over. So Paul had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He spoke evil of the Holy Spirit before he got saved. Therefore, he could not be saved according to the law, the system that was in place. But God did something. God saved him in Acts 9. So we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, who was before a blasphemer, that's him, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Albeit for this cause, I obtained the cause of his teaching, the new revelation, the mystery of. Okay? Albeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That word first is removed in some of the newer Bibles. No way. That word first is important because it does say that Paul was the first in the body of Christ. And also the same verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 also says that Paul is the pattern. Is the pattern to follow as he followed Christ. You see that in the letters of Paul. So Paul got saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. When the Lord appeared to him in Acts 9, Paul deserved death. But the Lord had mercy on him. The Lord could have killed him right there on the road to Damascus. But the Lord did not. How then could Paul be saved? Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, that is a reference to Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, the children of Israel. That's basically everyone on the planet. If the Lord had mercy on Paul and did not kill him, then I must conclude that Paul was saved in Acts 9. And because he's the first one in the body of Christ, make your own conclusion, it's very clear to me. Note, there is an important difference between what Paul and Peter said. Paul said, start with Peter. Peter, Acts 3, verse 19, 20, 21. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the work of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There are many things in there. He says, repent so that your sins will be blotted out. They're not forgiven yet. And they will be blotted out or forgiven, removed from you, only when the Lord comes back. There's also this aspect of, they started to preach, the Old Testament prophet, they started to preach since the world began. Let's see what Paul says. Romans 16, verse 25. All to him that is of power to establish you. Sorry, I mispronounced the word. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Did you notice the difference? This is where right division becomes important, to see the difference, what Peter said, what Paul said. Peter said, spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began, so they started to speak after the world began. And Paul says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but it was known before, but God hid it. This clearly shows that the revelation of the mystery was a secret kept since the world began. God spoke through the prophets since the world began, but the revelation and the mystery was kept a secret. The prophet did not know the revelation of the mystery that was given to Paul exclusively. This mystery was known to God before the foundation of the world, given to Paul so that he could reveal it. Well, the Old Testament prophets, they had no knowledge of this, the revelation of the mystery. In what I wrote here, there are a lot of things that are missing. And I understand that it's hard for people to understand right division and all this knowledge about right division and the mid-exposition and who's Peter, who's Paul, and all these things. Understand from Scripture that once you start discovering why Paul, then you start asking your question, well, the Lord had already 12 apostles, so why did he need one more apostle? Aha! You get clues like this when you're studying, when you're reading your Bible, and from interacting with other people, from listening to different preachers, teachers. You find that there's a difference, and I couldn't nail it down until somebody explained to me, why Paul? Once you know why Paul, the light turns on, and then you have this right division that comes into play. And you got to think about it, and then, you know, a lot of people say, well, the church is the Roman Catholic Church or something like that. But that's not right. The church is made of people, not of buildings. It's made of many, many people that are in the body of Christ, and it has nothing to do with organization, human organizations, like those big structures that we see. Take any group, they have a pyramidal system. That's not correct according to Scripture. In the Scripture, every one of us who's in the body of Christ are equal. There's not one above the other and all that stuff. I know and understand positions in ministry, but those are positions, not the person. See, the people are all equal, but some people occupy ministry, different positions, like preachers and teachers and deacons and people like that. But those are positions. Those people are not above you. They are helpers of your joy. So I hope that you are saved. And to know that you are saved, guaranteed to go to heaven, is to believe. And you can read that in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again 3 days after. And to that you add nothing. No works involved whatsoever for your salvation.